All right, turn your Bibles to the book of Judges. The book of Judges. We'll go as long as we can this morning. If I can't preach anymore, I don't know. I'll just call somebody from the floor to come up and finish the message. How's that sound? Got my notes here and everything. There's probably nobody in the Bible that had as much potential as this man. Judges chapter 16, and failed. His name is Samson. It says, I said 16, I meant chapter 14, I'm sorry. In verse 1, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all thy, my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he had sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. And he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. I want to preach this morning something I've mentioned many times, but I want to preach on the grossest story in the Bible. This is it. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I plead today for the filling of the Spirit of God. I pray you'd give me the voice that's needed to proclaim the message. But Lord, more importantly than having the voice would be the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And I pray the Holy Spirit would fill me and take the Word of God deep into every heart. May we understand that today, as long as I'm true to this book, true to the Word of God, that it's God that we need to listen to. We need to hear the message that you have for us. So, Father, I pray that you'd be pleased to speak to hearts and change lives today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't normally have a queasy stomach. I've seen all kinds of things. Never really bothers me. However, there are some things that are just gross. I remember when my daughter Kathy was just a little girl, and to the place where she could ask for things, you know. I had taken a drink of a Coca-Cola. Back then, you know, they were in the nice regular-sized bottles. And I was drinking the Coca-Cola, and she said, Daddy, I want. And so, being a daddy who loves to please his daughter, I gave her my Coke, and she took a drink of it. Now, I hadn't really paid attention to the fact that she'd been eating cookies. So I got the Coke back from my daughter, and I took a drink. It had a different consistency than what it had when I drank it before. So I looked inside the bottle, and there were floaties in there. I don't know what you call them. I call them floaties. Now, I'm sorry. That's nasty. That grosses me out right there. So from that point on, whenever she wanted a drink, I'd say, open your mouth. I want to see. Move your tongue. I want to see. Because that's gross. We went to Mexico on one of our many, many trips that we've taken down there. And we were with Brother Joins. They were going to be cooking a goat. And they did it in a pit. We had a special meeting at the church. And Brother Joins came up to me with one of his Mexican men. And he said, Now, Brother Allison, I want you to know that whenever we have a special guest in and we fix a goat like this in the pit, that we always give the guest of honor the eyeballs to eat. It's a prized thing to eat. I didn't know if he was pulling my leg or not, but I wasn't going to bite. I said, no, sir, I'm not going to eat them. He said, but they'll be offended if you don't eat them. I said, then they just got to be offended because I'm not going to eat them. I wouldn't make them eat something at my house they didn't want to eat. So I shouldn't have to eat at their house. So then the guy reached in the goat's mouth and pulled the tongue out. He said, would you like tongue? I said, no me gusta lengua, no. That's, I don't like tongue. Now, I didn't eat that either. That's okay. I'm just simply saying, there are just some things that are gross. There are some things I'm just not going to put in my mouth. That's all there is to it. But I believe there are some things that are even worse than that. In this story of Samson, we find a young man that was raised in a Christian home. He was set apart from before his very birth to be a Nazarite to God. I didn't say a Nazarene. He was not from Nazareth. He was from the tribe of Dan down near the Philistine country. But it was already announced that he was going to be a Nazarite from birth. This was more than just a Nazarite vow. His life was to be spent serving God. Now, as a Nazarite, there were some things he wasn't supposed to do. He wasn't supposed to have his hair cut. So you could tell he was a Nazarite. He was separated unto God. He was not supposed to touch anything that was dead. And he was not to be found in a vineyard or partake of anything of the vineyard. All of his life, he was dedicated and separated to God by his parents. But since he was being raised up down by Philistine country, he made many trips down there and not to take out the Philistines. But he went down there and that's where he had his fellowship. He fell in love with some Philistine girls and it ended up causing his death later on. But on his way down to the Philistines to look for a wife, he found a lion in the way and he slew it all by himself. Think about that. A big grown lion coming after him. He wasn't afraid. He just killed it. And then he went on his way. Met the girl. Came back, told his parents, I want that girl to be my wife. On his way back down to Philistine country, he got to thinking, I wonder how that body of that lion's doing. Have you ever seen an animal get killed in a highway, gets hit, and you drove back the next day to see what condition the body's in? Why? I mean, that's sick in itself. Why do you care? You know what's going to happen to that animal's body, don't you? It's going to be bloated. I don't need to describe it for you. You're going to eat in a little bit. I understand. He comes back down there and he goes to where the lion's at. Now, evidently, a few days have passed. I can imagine it's probably gone a little bit beyond ripe stage. You know, swells up, then bursts. I'm sure it's beyond that. No doubt there had been maggots in that body because that's what happens. But also a strange thing had happened. Some bees had come around and they had made a little hive in that body. And when that hive, they had some honey. Now I can only imagine, I'm still trying to think of what goes through this guy's head. He looks down at the carcass of the lion, probably some maggots still crawling in and out of the eyes, I don't know. And he sees honey and he says, that looks interesting, I wonder if that's any good. And he reaches, by the way, that's no crazier than some of the things people get into today. But he reaches down, he puts his hand, scoops him out some honey. That's pretty good stuff right there. And he gets some more, puts it together, goes home, and gives it to his mom and dad. Now, he doesn't tell them where he got it. He just gives them the honey. And they liked it. Now, of course, when he did that, when he touched anything that had to do with that body, immediately, as an Israelite, he was unclean. As a Nazarite, he was doubly unclean. And when he took that honey and gave it to his parents, they became unclean. Now, they did it not knowing. I hate to confess to you, I had a nasty habit. But I would get toothpicks, you know, collect them when I go to restaurants because I'm getting old, my teeth getting farther apart, food gets in there, you got to pick yourself clean, you know what I mean? And so, because I don't always have a toothpick, I put toothpicks in my ash tray since I don't smoke. There's no ashes in there. But I put them there so I can just pick it up at any time. I was with a preacher. This is terrible. We're driving down the road talking. We're in my car. Before I even noticed what was going on, I heard him say, "Oh, I need one of those." And he reached up and started doing that. I never told him. He still doesn't know to this day. If he ever gets in my car again, though, I'm going to say, "Don't touch those things down there. I've already used them." But anyway, that's another matter. But you wonder, how could a young man stoop so low, totally against his upbringing, to do something so nasty and then give it to his parents? And yet, I've been pastoring long enough. I've met a lot of young people brought up much better than what they're living, who do some of the nastiest things. Some of you remember a few years ago, we had a man here by the name of Del Wilkes. Del Wilkes was known nationally as the Patriot. He was a WWF wrestler. He was a world champion wrestler. That's what he was, not what he is now. He was a young man who'd been brought up in a Bible-believing Christian home. He knew some of the greatest Bible-believing preachers of our day. He spent a lot of time at the Sammy Allen campground with his parents. His parents would take him there all the time. But as he got up, he got interested in wrestling. Knew a friend. The friend got him to meet certain people. And he ended up getting signed up to be a wrestler, and they made him the Patriot. And of course, crowds, 15,000 at a time, would come out and cheer his name. And of course, they were always yelling for him. But he got into drugs. First, he got into prescription drugs that he shouldn't have had. With the different pains that he had as a wrestler, the things the doctors gave him just weren't enough. And he got more and more drugs. He got hooked on the whole lifestyle. At the time he was here, for those of you who came and remember his testimony, he couldn't even drive a car. He couldn't drive a car because he didn't have a license. It was gone. He was living with his mother. His wife had left him a long time ago. Here's this guy that was the idol of thousands upon thousands of people. And now he's a homebody mother's boy. His life ruined and wrecked and his testimony gone. He was brought up better than that. How in the world did he end up so miserable? Closer to home, there's a young man that many of you know. He's a missionary son. Many of you met him on our mission trips. And yet he got away from God, lost his wife, ended up in jail, served some time. Never should have happened. When he was brought up better than that, his parents brought him up to serve God. Amen. How in the world did he get away from that? Well, the story is very similar to that of Samson. Let me give you some quick points here. Number one, he went someplace he never should have gone. He had no business going down to the Philistines. That wasn't the place where he should have got his joy. He had no business in Timnath. The heathen were there. Their pagan religion was there. Their unsaved girls were there. The people with the world philosophy of wickedness and anti-God were there. It had been one thing if he'd been going down there representing the nation of Israel, if he had gone down there to fight for Israel. But he went down there to get the joys that the Philistines had to offer. He went someplace he never should have been. He had no intention, I'm sure, when he got there, even before he went, of ever ending up so filthy. But he went someplace he should not have gone. Separated to God from his mother's, from his own birth. Separated to God. Been brought up to live for God. Bible says of us, Ephesians 6:4, Scripture tells us, and ye fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's the responsibility of every parent. And yet, here he gets in the wrong place. Some things you were warned about start looking pretty good. For instance, he saw a woman, the Scripture says here, of the daughters of the Philistines. You go back to Genesis chapter 3. And the Bible says of Eve that she saw the fruit. You go to the story of Israel conquering Jericho. And Achan goes into one of the homes of the Jerichoites. And there he saw a Babylonian garment. And saw some wedges of gold and silver. You've got David. At a time when kings go forth to battle, stays in his palace. And he walks out in his patio and he saw Bathsheba bathing on the rooftop. The Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. When you see things, you've got, that's one of the things that makes the television dangerous. It's one of the things that makes the internet doubly dangerous. Because you can see every bit of wickedness that this world has to offer. And too many believers do. And you don't forget. Whether it be TV, whether it be the movies, the internet. I'm not saying it's wrong to get on the internet. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a TV. But it's definitely wrong to see things that God condemns. Get to seeing some things that are not that bad to begin with, and it only leads to more. You know, when Lot decided that he was going to pitch his tent towards Sodom, he wasn't planning on living there. But the Bible says when he pitched his tent towards Sodom in 2 Peter chapter 2, that he vexed his righteous soul from day to day. So by the time you get to chapter 19 and God's pronounced a curse on Sodom and Gomorrah, we find him living there. But he had just pitched his tent there. And then when you find the Sodomites at his door, wanting to have relations with the angels who had come there, he gets up. This is amazing to me. And he says, do these men no harm. I've got a daughter here. I've got a pure daughter here. Take my daughter and do with her as you will. And I read that, man, I tell you, I want to pop Lot right in the mouth. What's wrong with him? In Christian love, of course. Young people go to the movies, the dances. They see things that look good, even though their parents and their preacher warned them. And they begin to wonder, what can be wrong with that? But that's just the beginning. It doesn't stop there. It all starts out innocently enough. He went someplace he never should have gone. Number two, he ran with people he never should have run with. Of course, that normally happens when you go to the wrong place. If you look in verse 11, it says, and it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. What kind of companions? They're Philistine companions. Samson said unto them, I'll not put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garment. But if you cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother. Shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. Came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the 7th day before the sun went down, what's sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Now, there's further more on the story here dealing with those men. But the whole point is, you go down to Philistine country, the only friends you're going to find down there to run to are going to be Philistines. And that's who he ends up running with. You know, psychologists tell us that the greatest pressure upon teenagers is peer pressure. I've got news for you. It's a great pressure upon adults, too. You start hanging out with the wrong people, it won't be long you'll be acting like the wrong people. We find Samson running with the wrong people, thinking the wrong way, All because he was running with the wrong people. Parents, if your child's running with the wrong crowd, I want you to get a hold of this. It's because your child is the wrong crowd. That kills me. Somebody breaks into a home. Here, teenagers break into a home. They beat up a little baby. They steal the parents. I mean, true story. They steal stuff from the home. Beat up the little baby that was in the home. Go home. They get caught. And the first thing out of their parents' mouth, they're really good boys. Give me a break. No, they're not. They're hoodlums. That's what they are. Absolutely. You want to know what your child's look? You want to know what they're like? Look at who they run with. You want to know what you're like? Look at who you run with. That's what you're like. Boy, that's tough right there, Brother Wagner. I can tell right now that doesn't make some people very happy. That's the way it is. I remember the first time we went down to Mexico and we were visiting a family there. And they had a young boy. I think he's about 12 years old at the time. I'm talking about when we took teenagers down there. Oh, by that time, he was a teenager himself. We took some teenagers down there. And it's funny. You know, Madison Baptist Church, we've got spiritual teenagers. We've got so-so teenagers. And we've got rebellious teenagers. We got the whole group. And as we watched him, it didn't take but a day to find out what kind of boy the missionary son was. Because he wasn't running with the spiritual teenagers. He wasn't hanging around the so-so teenagers. He was hanging around the rebel teenagers. You hang around what you are. That's who you hang around. You hang around cursers all the time. That's because that's what you are. You hang around people telling dirty jokes all the time. That's what you are. Do you understand? You get serious here. We always like to think we're better. In fact, some people, I think, hang around people they think are pretty bad so they can feel better about themselves. You are influenced by your friends. I mean, the truth is, many people took their first puff on a cigarette because they're hanging around with people that wanted to puff on cigarettes. Same way with drugs. Those that sniff their first sniff of cocaine, it's because they hang around some people with cocaine. I mean, you hang around the right people, you have a tendency not to do those things. Brother Wilt's testimony of getting into prescription drugs that he shouldn't have had, they came from another wrestler that gave them to him. Well, yeah, that's who he was running with. Listen, you should be kind to all everybody that's around. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We love people. We want to see people get saved. But you've got to be careful who you run with. Running around with people and ministering to certain people are two different things. But every parent, you ought to be concerned about who your kids are running with. And you need to say no. You say, won't they get mad? Probably. Well, I don't want to make anybody mad. You'd rather lose your kids. Listen, I've been a pastor now for 37 years, raised up two daughters. We try to be friendly to everybody, but there were kids they weren't going to be running with. Because I wanted the right influences in their life. Every young person here knows who in the youth group loves God and who doesn't. Your parents may not, because anybody can put on an act around adults. Just like you adults, you know who the gossips are. And you know who is it. You know who's an accuser of the brethren and who lifts up people. You adults know who the rebels are, I'm talking about among other adults, and who loves God and who's a blessing to be around. You see, this criteria is for everybody. You see, it's not just a matter of just having a testimony of being saved, but having a testimony of godliness. You want to maintain that testimony, then you need to hang around godly people. How could Samson ever get so gross? Number one, went someplace he never should have gone. Number two, he ran with people he never should have ran with. And then in verses 5-9, he did something he never should have done. He knew better. He knew better than to touch a dead body. He knew better. But touching the dead body wasn't enough. You would think anybody with half an ounce of sense knows not to reach into a dead carcass and eat something that's lying in it. Would you do it? Would you stop by the side of the road? Somebody threw out their whopper and it landed right in the body of that rotten dog. You're going to reach down and eat that? You're going to have to be awful hungry, man. Or awful sick, one of the two. Isn't that right? I mean, this isn't something that really requires a whole lot of thought. He had no business doing that. Because it just hurts me. Hurt his parents, too. You understand that your lifestyle never just hurts you. There are a lot of people who give that stupid excuse, and it is a stupid excuse. Well, it's my life. I can do with it as I want. I'm not hurting anybody but me. You're a liar. You are a liar. You have lied to yourself, and you continue to lie to yourself. What you do affects a lot of people. Because number one, everybody here has somebody that cares about you. And it hurts them. And a lot of people here, you have folks that look up to you. And you do wrong. And you influence younger folks. You Christians, you influence younger Christians. Yes, you ought to walk right. You ought to talk right. You ought to be right. Why? Because you have an influence on people. He makes his own parents unclean. Never should have done that. Never should have done that. But you start going someplace you shouldn't go and run with people you shouldn't run with, it won't be long. You'll be doing things you shouldn't do. Some of you may remember there was a time you didn't curse at all. But then you got to working around and hanging out after work with people that cursed all the time. And one day a curse word came out of your mouth. You went, what in the world? I never did that before. But you didn't learn. You kept hanging around. It got easier and easier to curse. Hey, one of the reasons why we meet together, God's people do, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. You hang around godly Christians, it's easier to act like a godly Christian yourself. I mean, you want to keep doing something, hang around the right people. Oh, preacher, I'd never do drugs. Oh, preacher, I'd never be immoral. Oh, preacher, I'd never drop out of church. Oh, preacher, I'd never curse and swear. I've heard it all in 37 years of pastoring. And when people tell me they'd never, I realize never's a whole lot closer to come than they think. Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You can count on it. So he went someplace he never should have gone. Ran with people he shouldn't have ran with. Did something he shouldn't have done. And this is sad right here. He hurt someone he never should have hurt there in verse 9. He took thereof in his hands and went on eating. Came to his father and mother and he gave them and they did eat. And he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Now I know a lot of people read that passage. They just go on. They don't think much about it. But if you know Jewish law, that made his parents unclean. I tell you, it's sad to see it so many times. Parents who live godly, do right, their desire is to please God. But they raise up a young person that doesn't care. And that young person thinks, well, it's their life. They can do what they want, not hurting anybody. But they destroy their parents' testimony by what they do. Do you realize, young people, that people think of your parents an awful lot by how you act? My dad's name was Dewey. Dewey Allison. Now, my dad was a drinker and a curser. That's what he was. But I'm going to tell you what. My dad was an honest man. My dad was a hard worker. He not only worked as an electrician for the Kirsch Company up in Sturgis, Michigan, but he also started his own electrical business. And he was able to start an electrical business because he had a testimony that he would do the job, do it right, and get it done. Now, I realized something when I was a teenager. That my dad had a good name in town. And it meant something to the people of the city. And I understood that when they'd say, oh, you're Dewey's son. You know, I got blessed some because I was Dewey's son. He had a good testimony. I didn't want to mess that up for my dad. I love my dad. Absolutely amazing how many young people don't care. They just don't care. Their parents have loved them and sacrificed for them, and they don't care if they ruin their parents' name. Man, that is so sorry and absolutely low down. Makes me wonder if they're even saved. How in the world could they be saved and act like that? Tell you what, because if they don't care about their parents' name, they're not going to care about God's name. You claim to be saved and you live like the devil? What do you think people think of your God? See, our God's holy. He is righteous. And we are to live like Him. Oh, my parents that get into messes, pornography, internet, work relationship, it hurts others, hurts their kids, hurts their family, hurts their friends. I told you this story, I'll not give the man's name, but when I was pastoring in Manchester, Tennessee, I preached at least one Sunday a month at the Coffee County Jail. And I always started out when I preached at the Coffee County Jail, since it was on Sunday morning, I'd start out by saying, I just want all of you guys to know that if you're here for DUI, I'm glad you're here. You put my wife in danger, my children in danger, me in danger, and people I love in danger, and I'm glad they caught you, and I'm glad you're right here this morning. And then I preached to them. We had a man that got saved. I'll just give you his first name. His first name was George. He had been a firefighter for a number of years. As a matter of fact, he became an arson investigator, and at one time was president of the, I think it was the International Association of Arson Investigators, something like that. But here he was sitting in jail, 1129. He had got caught for DUI three or four times, and finally they just gave him 1129 in jail. Well, the guy got saved, and when he got out of jail, I'd pick him up every Sunday and take him to church, then take him back home on Sunday afternoon. And he told me that he never took a drink until he was 42 years old. Never drank. 42 years old. And what happened was he started going to those conventions, hanging around people that had one in their hand, you know. And finally one day he took a drink, and then another, and another. By the time I met him in the Coffee County Jail, his wife had left him, his children had have nothing to do with him. And even after he got out of jail, he lived alone in an apartment building. His kids were ashamed of him. His wife was ashamed of him, hated him. All because he started hanging out with people he never should have hung out with. All because he was at places he had no business being. Start doing things he shouldn't have done. And he hurt the very people that he never wanted to hurt. There's another point to this. He lost something he never should have lost. You see, he went on for a while, saw some victories over the Philistines, but you get to chapter 16. In chapter 16, still dealing with Samson, you got the story here of Samson and Delilah, another Philistine girl. He hadn't learned his lesson. We find him with her, and she had made a deal with the Philistines to find out where his great strength was. She does a couple of different things. I mean, Samson may have been strong as an ox, but he was dumb as a box of rocks. You know what I mean? How in the world he never got it, I don't know. I mean, the first time he tells the girl something like, well, if I'm bound with seven brand new ropes, I'll be like other men. And he goes to sleep on her lap and he wakes up bound with seven new ropes. Philistines be upon thee, Samson. Something's not right here. But he never got it. And so finally he tells her his heart, says, you cut the hair. Why? That was his last outward sign of belonging to God. And the Bible says he wist not that the Spirit of God was with him, or had departed from him. He didn't know that God had said, all right, Samson, enough, you're on your own. And the Philistines took him, captured him, gouged out his eyes, and had him grinding at the mills of the enemies of God like some blind donkey. And that's how he ended his life, in disgrace. He lost the power of God. He lost the walk with God. He lost his separation. He lost his strength. He lost his sight. He lost his liberty. He lost his usefulness. He lost his testimony. And he lost his life. My. The guy that had so much going for him. Of all the men in the Bible, he was physically the strongest. And yet, he didn't get any of the victories, lasting victories for Israel that the other judges got. Because morally, he was corrupt. Went someplace he never should have gone. He ran with people he never should have ran with. Did some things he never should have done. He hurt people he never should have hurt. And he lost something he never should have lost. His walk with God. Now thank God for the saved. You can't lose your salvation. But you can lose your testimony. You can lose your effectiveness for God. You can lose even opportunities for service for God. I said for the saved. What do you mean, preacher? Well, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you want to go to heaven when you die, you must be born again. And being born again is only in Jesus. It's not found in a denomination. It's not found in a church. Salvation is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Because on that cross, he died to pay our sin debt, was buried, and rose 3 days later from the dead. Jesus said, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you're not saved today, you need to come to Jesus and be saved. And he'll give you eternal life. Or you die lost and burn in a sinner's hell for eternity. For those of you who have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, what are you doing with your testimony and your effectiveness for the Lord? You find yourself in places you got no business being? You better repent now. Turn back now. You know, when his parents said to him, why isn't there ever a daughter among our people? Why do you always have to go down to the Philistines? If he'd have been half as smart as he was strong, he'd have said, you know, you're right. Let's go back home. But he wasn't half as smart as he was strong. He wasn't a tenth smart as he was strong. When he looked down into the body of that lion, saw those maggots around that body and that honey there, when he reached down and touched it and got here, he said, what am I doing? Now, but he wasn't tenth as smart as he was strong. When he took that honey, knowing full well that it'd make his parents unclean, and handed it to him, he should have gotten a clue right then. Whoa, wait, I'm sorry, parents. I never should have done that. But he didn't, because he wasn't 1/20th as smart as he was strong. And when he hurt all those people, he still never got a clue. So he ended up losing everything. And it all began by going someplace he never should have gone. A lot of broken marriages in this country. All because somebody got up late at night and got to places on the internet they had no business being. A lot of broken marriages all around this country. People that, if you were to give them an IQ test, they'd score high, but they're really not all that bright. They think somehow it'll be different with them. And it's not different for anybody. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Samson is a heartbreaking tale, especially in light of the fact that he had so much going for him. But Lord, all these years of pastoring, I've seen similar stories of heartache. I pray, first of all, Lord, today for any here that have never truly been born again, that they would see their need for the Son of God and turn to Jesus Christ and be saved. And Father, I pray for believers today, whether it be parents in the raising of their children, whether it be children in the responsibilities of their own testimony and their responsibility to live for you, I pray, dear God, that there'd be a conviction of righteousness. That you would deal with hearts, and some people today would get spiritually smart and understand some things about themselves. God, have your way, I pray today, in every life, for I beg it in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed,